Good morning, everybody. It's Charlie. If you want to come over to the shade, we're going to get started this morning. Anybody want to praise God for some nachos? Woo, that was good. Good eating. I hope you're enjoying those. Please keep Keith and his son Bradley in your prayers, and Jesse. They are at a hunting camp this weekend, so having some time in the woods, getting to know God and enjoying some of his creation. I'm glad you're here today. I know it's hot, but it's just good to be together and looking forward to some time in God's word today. So let's pray, and then we'll read some scripture. Will you join me, please? Father, we bless you and praise you today. We thank you for the good food that we've enjoyed. We thank you for meeting our needs. We thank you for all of our blessings, the air that we breathe, the health that we enjoy. We know that many people are affected by the virus and just other sickness and hurt. And we know that you care, and we know that you love us. We know that you're for us. And I pray today, as we open up the pages of your word, that you'll speak to us, that our hearts will be open to listen and hear what you have to say to us. And I pray that you will pour out your love on us and help us to be filled so full with your love that we can share it and it'll overflow to others in the circles that we come in and the people that we come into contact with in this world that is very dark and that needs you. So just help us today. Thank you for every person that's here. And we love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus we pray. If you agree with that, say amen. Yeah. All right. So we've been looking in the Gospel of John the past, probably, I guess, for the whole year. And we've just finished chapter 5. And so we're going to start chapter 6 today. And chapter 6 is all about Jesus saying one of the 7 I am statements that he says in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so today's message is, I am the bread of life, is what Jesus says. And so chapter 6 is 71 verses supporting the claim and the point that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So we're not going to read all 71 verses today. We're just going to read the first 15. But have you ever known somebody, or maybe sometimes I fall into this trap myself, somebody that maybe talks the good talk but doesn't walk the walk, you know, somebody that you know, they you know, may be able to say or talk, you know, the talk, but they can't really back up, you know, the talk, or you know, their actions don't support their talk. And like I said, I've been guilty of that before. Well, Jesus, in order to try to teach people and show people that he is the bread of life, he didn't just say that. He demonstrated that, and he showed that in an amazing, amazing, amazing way. So as we read this story, it may be a story that you've heard before, an account that you've heard before. I want you to let your imagination try to just visualize in your mind how you see this happening. As we read, I'm going to make some comments through the word, and then we'll have 2 takeaways. But I really want you to try to just get into this story. Imagine, try to see it in your mind. If you need to close your eyes and just imagine what's going on. Imagine the scene. It's just, I think it helps you encounter the word in a beautiful way if you do that. So we're in John chapter 6, verse 1. After everything that had happened in chapter 5, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd followed him. So this is at the height of Jesus's ministry. Many people are around, and he's got a huge crowd that's following him. And John gives us the reason why. They were attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. When he got to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he climbed a hill and he sat down. And he was surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the Feast of the Passover, kept annually by the Jews. The Feast of the Passover is an important detail in this story. Some of you may remember what the Passover means, or the significance of the Passover. The Jews would celebrate it once a year. And remember, the Passover was the story in the Old Testament when Moses went to Pharaoh and the 10 plagues. Remember, the 10th plague was the angel of death would pass over the house if they had the blood sprinkled on the door. Well, an amazing miracle, and that's what delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian oppression and freed them and let them, they had to go in the wilderness for a little while, but they enjoyed the freedom that came from being delivered because of the Passover. So every year, Jews, and even up from the time of Moses all the way to the time of Jesus, were celebrating this feast. And part of the feast of the Passover was that you would take unleavened bread. It's bread that everybody had. And then also you would kill a lamb to signify what had happened way back when Moses experienced that and when the actual Passover occurred. So bread was already a significant part of the feast of the Passover, and it will be significant in this story. So Jesus looks out and he sees this big crowd. He sees a large crowd has arrived. And he says to Philip, who is one of his disciples, listen to this question. Where can we buy bread to feed these people? So we got a huge crowd here. A lot of people wanting to hear Jesus, see Jesus, maybe see if he'll do a miracle. And so he turns to Philip and he says, where can we buy bread to feed these people? And I love the next sentence. It says, he said this to stretch Philip's faith. Sometimes if Jesus is asking you a question, or if he's asking me a question, or something doesn't sound right if you're listening to him, sometimes Jesus is doing it to stretch us. Amen? Sometimes we all need stretching. Sometimes we kind of get in our own rut or in our own routine, and we need to be stretched. He always does it in love. He never does it in anger, never does it based out of fear. But he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in our walk with him and our relationship with him. And so he will ask those sometimes difficult questions. And can you imagine being Philip? Let's imagine that you're standing at the 50-yard line at Legion Field and half of the stadium is full. And Jesus says, will you give all these people some nachos and cheese? What would you do? How would you react to that? And Philip says, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece. I tried to look up how much money that was. It's a lot of money in our day today. So it would have taken more money than anybody would have had on them, more money than probably anybody would have made in a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 10 years. That's how much money that it would have taken if they had to buy the food for everybody to get some food. So Philip is thinking in terms of, okay, Jesus, you want us to feed people? I don't have the resources, don't have 200 pieces of silver, don't know where and how to get the food. What in the world are we going to do? And then we have another disciple who's trying to fix the problem, Andrew, and it's a good thing. He does it out of a good heart. Verse 8 says, one of the disciples, it was Andrew, the brother to Simon Peter, says that there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this. So Andrew's trying to fix the problem. We've got a ton of people, and we've got a boy who's got a lunch. Not probably as many nachos as if you've just eaten. Just a little bit of bread and a couple of fish, enough for his lunch for the day. And Andrew correctly says it's just a drop in the bucket for all the people that are here. But listen to what happens next, and try to imagine you being a part of this or seeing this or taking this in. So we've got Philip saying, hey, we don't have enough money to buy enough food for these people. We've got Andrew saying, there's a little boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus says in verse 10, make the people sit down. There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. 5,000 people sitting on this beautiful green grass. Jesus took the bread, the 5 barley loaves, having given thanks, so he blessed the bread. He gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. Now, John, I think, is a little bit understating this. You know, I mean, don't you want a little more detail? Like, okay, he blesses the bread, he blesses the fish, and all ate as much as they wanted. How? What in the world happened? Now, we're not told in Scripture. I have no idea. I can't tell you that I know for sure what happened. And wouldn't you have loved to seen how it happened? I mean, did Jesus bless it? And, you know, how did all this happen? We don't know. But yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, it's probably not super important that we know. All we know is that it did happen. Amen. And this statement is probably the biggest understatement of all. All ate as much as they wanted. Now, listen to this. When the people had eaten their fill, so everybody had enough to be full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." They went to work and filled, listen to this, 12 large baskets with the leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. So 5 barley loaves turns into enough food to feed 5,000 people with 12 large baskets left over. Wow! I mean, isn't that amazing? And does somebody remember how many disciples there were? Isn't it interesting? There's 12 baskets left over, amen? So it's almost like each disciple had their own basket to see the power of Jesus, what Jesus could do, how he could not just supply enough, but supply more than enough, an abundance of more than what was needed. And that's the kind of God that God is. That's the kind of Lord that Jesus is. Not just enough for everybody to eat their fill, but 12 baskets left over, one for each of the disciples, so that maybe as they walked in faith with Jesus, they could think back and say, in the tough times, the difficult times, I remember when I stood in front of my own basket of leftover bread when Jesus fed 5,000 people. I mean, what an amazing thing that occurred, an amazing event that Jesus did, an amazing thing that happened. So listen to the reaction of the crowd, and we'll end with this. It says, the people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had done. You think? You know, Jesus is at work. Amazing miracle. They said, this is the prophet for sure. God's prophet right here in Galilee. Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm, they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off and went back up to the mountain to be by himself. Once again, showing the heart of Jesus. His heart was not necessarily to do this for show or to necessarily promote an earthly agenda or anything like that. He did it out of love. He did it out of compassion. He did it out of kindness. He did it out of goodness, showing the heart of Father God. And when the crowd who saw this amazing thing occur obviously believed, they wanted to make him king, but Jesus just sort of slipped off and went off by himself. So just an amazing story. And I just want to share 2 takeaways with you. My guess is if you've heard any preacher preach on this text, they probably make this point, and it's a beautiful point, a point I want to remind us all of, and it's this. Are you listening? God can do a lot with a little. Amen? God can do a lot with a little. This story says this lunch, it was just a lunch, one boxed lunch, and he fed 5,000 so much that there was 12 left over baskets. And maybe today you've come to church, our church today, and you're struggling in your faith. Maybe you think, you know, I don't have much to give. I don't have much to offer. And that really the truth is none of us do. All of us just have a little, okay? We struggle. We have challenges. We have issues. We have stresses. We all have those, amen? But the invitation for you and the invitation for me is to bring it to God, is to bring it to Jesus. And even if we think and even if it looks like we don't have much to give, look at what God can do. Look at how he can work. Look at how he can move. So I would encourage you today in the struggles, in the difficulties, don't try to hide them from God. He already knows what's going on. Bring those to him and say, look, Lord, here I am, warts and all, difficulties and all, sin struggles and all, this is me, but I offer myself to you. And I promise you this is from the word of God. God will move. God will work. God will help. God will love. God will take a little and make it a lot. Amen. He will take a little and make it a lot. So God can do a lot with a little. So don't ever be ashamed to come to God. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. And that's the second takeaway from this story. And it's this, is that God does care for our physical needs. Look at how he provided, not just enough to eat, which would have been great, but abundantly beyond, more, extra, leftovers. That kind of, that's the kind of God that he is. And I hope that when you come to church in this parking lot, that it is a testament that God cares about your physical needs. Every meal that's served, every drink that Jimmy and the team help serve over there, everything is a testament to God caring for you and God caring for me and God providing. So just know that. Know that that's the truth. But the last thing I want to say is this. God provides for our physical needs, okay? And he loves to do that. He wants to do that. But he does that in order to bring you into relationship with him. So he takes care of the physical things because the most important thing about you is your soul, your spirit, what is inside of you that nobody else can touch that is uniquely yours, okay? So the reason why God takes care of physical needs is so that it can open doors to bring you into relationship with him and take care of the real need that we all have, which is to be saved forever and ever, to live with him forever and ever. Amen. So I can tell you with confidence, 100% confidence, that everything that we do here on this parking lot is because there are people here that have been blessed by the love of God, like me. I've been given so much. I have been given more than I deserved, leftovers, abundant. And my heart and my goal and my life is meant to share that with other people. And that's the way that God is. And I can tell you that every meal that's delivered here is an attempt and a heart to try to say that you have a seat at the table, like Keith always says. But our heart also is when we serve, when we give out of what we've been blessed with, it's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we've done on our own strength. When we give what we've been blessed with, we do that because we want everybody in that comes to the church at Southside to know Jesus and to walk in relationship with him. Now, you still have a seat at the table, even if you choose not to do that. We can't force you to do that. You belong first. Can you hear me on that? You belong first. You belong and you always have a seat at the table. But it is our hope that when you belong, it will lead you to belief that will change your behavior. Did you hear that? When you belong, it will lead you to belief that will change your behavior. Now, sometimes in church, we get that backwards. We say, well, you got to behave first, or, you know, you got to come to faith first. And faith is important. That is an important thing. But the number one thing you've got to know is you belong. You have a seat at the table. You are part of God's kingdom. He loves you. He is for you. He is with you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Now, that won't be forced on you. Nobody here is going to force that on you. But if you open up your heart to that, if you open up your heart to that, you will know the love of God and you will see God move. And so know that God can do a lot with a little, and he provides for physical needs in order to bring you into relationship with him. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate someone who has said, I'm signing up for Jesus and I want to be baptized. So come back next Sunday. We're going to just celebrate that together as a church family. So be looking forward to that. So let's pray together. Let's ask God to move in our hearts and then we'll give out some supplies. Will you join me, please? Father, we love you. What an amazing miracle that Jesus performed, feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We testify and proclaim today that you are the bread of life, that you provide for our physical needs, and we praise you for that. God, thank you for the needs that you've provided for today, the shade, the cool breeze, the delicious food, everything that is a gift from you. The breath that we're breathing right now is from you. We're thankful. We praise you. We thank you for those blessings, God. We don't take them for granted. We know that they're from you. We know that when you provide for those, you're showing that you love us. And I pray that everything that's been done this morning will help open doors for people to walk with you, to know you, to see you. I pray that somebody this morning that's listening to my voice that has not opened up their heart to you, that they will say, Jesus, come in to my heart. I want to follow you. I want to be a disciple of yours. God, may this block be a place where everyone knows they have a seat at the table. They belong. They belong first. We know that that's how you treated people, that they belong. And I pray that belonging will bring belief in you and that it will change behaviors. God, we know that we sin. We know that we struggle, but we praise you for forgiveness. We are thankful for amazing grace. Amen. It's the sound of it is so sweet and we need it and we thank you for it. We pray that with our the little that we offer, that you'll do much with it, that you'll Fill us so full of your love that it'll overflow to others. We need you, God. We need to be full first before we can share it to others. And I pray that today we will walk away with full bellies and full hearts ready to serve you this week. God, our world needs you. We pray for you. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus we pray. May all of God's children at the Church of Southside say together, amen. Thank you. We'll announce the supplies here soon. Thank you.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.